My Lord, what a morning that will be when the day dawns of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wake up, O sleeper, we are told. We are to be mourning people. As Paul describes in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14, besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake up from your sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is God's word. Well, in these days of all these Black Friday sales and with all the commercialism that surrounds Christmas, you know, I can't hardly think of anything that we could have read in church this morning that is more counterculture than the call to put on Christ and make no provisions for the flesh. Now, the temptation is to preach this as an ethical text, to rail against the culture of our day that has commercialized the season in which we celebrate God's gift to us. We've turned it into an orgy of self-indulgent living, and a preacher would just love to rail against the culture for what it has done to Christmas. But given its place in this letter to the Romans, this text is really about identity. Over and over in Romans chapters 12 to 14, the focus is on who we are in Jesus Christ. And in this passage, we are reminded that we are a people who know the time. We are people who are not so absorbed in this world that we've forgotten what time it is. We are people who know that our salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. We know that the night is far gone and that a new day is at hand. And therefore, as people who know the time, we are people who cast off the works of darkness, we put on the armor of light, and we conduct ourselves no longer as we live in the night. We conduct ourselves as those who live in the light. In other words, while it may still be night in this world, in this sin-darkened world, it's not going to be night much longer. And we live for the coming dawn. We live as morning people. Are you a morning person? Oh, that's the wrong slide. Who put that in there? No. Are you a morning person? Are you one of those people who springs out of bed early in the morning and goes for a walk or a jog, or who writes a few emails and reads the newspaper and takes care of the household finances all before the workday begins? Are you eager to embrace each new day? Did you know that there is a Facebook page dedicated to hating people like you? That's right. It's the I Hate Morning People Facebook page. And down on this page, I found a Garfield cartoon that had this. Someone posted it. If people were meant to pop out of bed, we'd all sleep in toasters. You know, they say the early bird gets the worm. You'll never guess what the early bird found this morning on the way to church. Laying on the side of the road. See, sometimes it pays to get up in the morning, doesn't it? I'll put it in the offering. I know some people say, early bird gets the worm. They say, I hate early and I hate worms. You know. But of course, you know, Paul here is talking about a different kind of morning person. And yes, you can be this kind of a morning person regardless of the internal rhythms of your body. Paul says it in verse 11. He says, besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from your sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. When Martin Luther preached on this text, he drew out the analogy between physical sleep of our bodies and the spiritual sleep of an unbelieving soul. And this is what he said in his sermon. He said the sleeper, and he's talking here about a person who's physically asleep, the sleeper sees nothing about him. He is not sensitive to any of earth's realities. In the midst of them, he lies as one dead, useless, as without power or purpose. Though having life in himself, he is practically dead to all outside. Moreover, his mind is occupied not with realities, but with dreams, wherein he beholds mere images, vain forms of the real. And he is foolish enough to think them true. But when he wakes, these illusions or dreams vanish. Then he begins to occupy himself with realities. The phantoms are discarded. And then Luther went on to make the analogy how an unbeliever is, in a sense, in a deep sleep. And in that sleep, he is dead to God. And he's dead to things that are real. Life under the grace of God and in the kingdom of God. The mind of the sleeper, moreover, is occupied with illusions and fantasies and of earthly things like, you know, luxury and wealth and pleasures, all of which are mere dreams, from which the unbeliever, much to his horror, will wake up one day when the morning dawns and Christ appears, and he realizes only too late that he's been living his whole life in a dream world. Wake up, O sleeper. Don't forget what time it is. How far spent is the night? How near is the dawning of the great day of his advent? Salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. Are you a morning person? You know, whether you are a morning person in the flesh is likely determined, at least to some extent, by your genetic makeup. It's just who you are. It's part of your identity. And the same thing is true in the spiritual. If we are morning people, if we are people who live for the approaching dawn of Christ's coming, it's not because we made ourselves that way any more than Lila Jean made herself a baptized child of God this morning. We don't do that to ourselves. It's because we are clothed with Jesus Christ, Paul says. We put on Christ. He who gave himself to us as a holy sacrifice to atone for all of the deeds that we did in the darkness. And he brought us into the kingdom of his light. He changed our identity. He changed our DNA. So that we who once were the creatures of the darkness are now morning people. As St. Peter said, once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And as people who live in the light, who live for the coming dawn, we look forward to a better day, a new day, a brighter day, a happier day. And when you live with that kind of active expectancy, you develop a much more positive attitude about the unfolding events of the human story than a lot of us, frankly, have. You know how morning people are so happy and so chipper? It's what we hate about them, right? But that's what the morning does to people. Morning is a time that is full of promise. It is brightness, it is joy and beauty, it is the songs of the birds, it is the colors of the eastern sky, it is the freshness of the air. The morning is just a beautiful, happy time of the day. And a research study last year actually confirmed that morning people are happier people, they're more satisfied with their lives, they are more productive. And the article about this study concluded, you know, do you want a happiness booster in your life? It says, hack your sleep schedule and turn yourself into a morning person. And frankly, a lot of us could use that in this world because Some of us are so down on the events of history that we see taking place around us. We see a great nation that we think maybe is in decline, crushing national debt, the deterioration of our freedoms, incessant wars, a nuclear Iran, increasing wickedness, the violence of youthfulness, and now the randomness of violence. It's so easy to be swallowed up by the surrounding darkness and to despair and to get depressed and to wonder if we are complete fools for daring to hope that it might get better. But we are mourning people. We know and we believe that God is at work in our dark world. Just as Jesus knew that the Father was at work on a very dark Friday when he was crucified. How did Jesus endure the darkness that engulfed him? It was because he knew the dawn of the third day was coming, when God would place the seal of approval upon his sacrifice for our forgiveness and would raise his Son from the dead in a blaze of light. The God who worked good for us on that dark Friday is the same God who is at work in the darkness of our lives and of our situations and of our current events to bring us closer, closer to the dawning of that new day. So if you're down on the news and the events of this day, if you're depressed about the situation of your life, you feel like the adventure of youth has slipped past you now and life has stagnated, if the limitations of getting older have stolen away from you the dreams of what you always wanted to do with your life, it helps in the surrounding darkness to remember what time it is, to remember that our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed, that a new day is at hand, the eternal, glorious day of his coming. So, as the people of the morning, as those who await the morning, here's what we do. Let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies or drunkenness or sexual immorality or sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. We are too close to the daytime to engage in these things. And let us put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to gratify its desires. These are the things we do because we are mourning people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.